star at its rising and have come to do him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written through the prophets, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, since from you shall come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and give him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasuries and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
We're not sure how long this power will last. It does prompt me to make the homily somewhat more brief. Let me look at the Epiphany. The word Epiphany comes from a Greek word that means the showing or revelation or manifestation, the manifestation of the Messiah to the Gentile world, represented by the Magi. A few background things on this text, which appears only in the Gospel of Matthew. The Magi are from the East. It says they're from the East. They are not kings. I know we portray them as kings. That comes from the 72nd Psalm, which is our response today. And the Psalm says, "The kings of Tarshish in the Isles and Arabia and Seba will come to pay tribute to the Messiah." And therefore we have mutated the Magi into kings. Also, there is no mention that they were three in number. We arrived at three because there are three gifts, and therefore a gift assigned to each member of the Magi group. The star itself has prompted much astrological inquiry for those who are fundamentalist over the years, wondering if there was a meteor or some extraordinary signs in the heavens. But the star is meant to be a symbol. It's a symbol of God revealing the summons of the Spirit. And it comes to us not infrequently in times of darkness, in the stillness of the night, in the silence of the night, the star can be seen, and the star is a symbol of the movement and the call of the Spirit to discover the true Messiah and to find meaning in life. Rather interestingly, I know that a number of you will be going on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land in March. In Bethlehem, the Basilica of the Nativity in Bethlehem, the present structure was built by Justinian, the emperor, in 539. And he replaced a smaller church built by Constantine. And he wanted to have a much larger basilica, So the old one was destroyed and they built this new one. In the year 614, the Persians overran that entire area and destroyed all the churches except the Basilica at the Nativity. And they paused over that and left it intact because there are mosaics of the Magi on the facade of that basilica, and they're dressed in Persian attire. And therefore, it prompts us to honor a very early tradition that, in fact, the Magi were Persians in origin. And that's why those who were destroying the churches left the Basilica of the Nativity intact there in Bethlehem. And you'll see that today if you go there as a pilgrim. Let's look at the teaching of the Epiphany. It's my habit to read the Gospel a week in advance. So on Sunday afternoon, I read the Gospel for the next week. So 1 week ago in the afternoon, I read this text from Matthew about the Epiphany. And I reflect on it during the week, wonder what it really means to me or what the teaching of this divine revealed word means to me. So on Monday, on New Year's Day, I went up to the parade early in the morning and walked up and down Orange Grove to see the floats about 6:30 in the morning. Met all sorts of cheerful and happy people. We're all happy on New Year's Day. And then I got home about 8:15. I decided I'd like to begin the new year with some kind of reflection. So I sat in my chapel there for about an hour and a half. And I looked back over the year and remembered the narrative of the last year. And then I looked into the future, the unknown. And I began to write a journal and wondered what this epiphany means when I look back and when I look forward. I settled on Homer's Odyssey by way of a teaching vehicle. And this is an epic story that goes back 700 years before Christ. It's the story of a man, Odysseus, trying to find his way home after the Trojan War. And he's struggling to find his way home. It's the sacred journey of a man seeking initiation into the meaning of life. It's a journey of the soul of this man, searching for some sense of meaning and fulfillment, a home. The Greek word is nostos, which is nostalgia, comes from that. It's the yearning to find a place we call home. And it's more than a place, it's an experience. So it's the journey of a soul, of a man trying to discover who he is. Who is my father becomes a big question in the Odyssey. And on his journey home, which is prolonged, takes 10 years for him to get home, on his journey home, he encounters all sorts of human experiences, all sorts of impediments. I mean, he goes to the Lotus Eaters Island, place of drugs and all caught a misfortune. Then he's encountered by the Cyclops, these giants with one eye, all symbols about life. He is seduced by Calypso, this nymph, immortal goddess nymph. He's kept on her island there for 7 years. And by the way, interestingly, she's envious because he is mortal. There's something about mortality. That's a different homily. She's envious because he's mortal. And then, of course, Poseidon, the god of the seas, gives him great trouble, and the storms at sea, and all of these are meant to be symbols of the journey of life. And finally, when he gets home, he disguises himself as a beggar. This is looking for his true identity here. He disguises himself as a beggar, And only his dog, interestingly, only his dog recognizes him. And so he's home now, and home is very imperfect. I mean, there's lots of things wrong when he gets home. But he's home. And it's this whole sense of the journey of your life, and in many ways, the journey of my life. The impediments, the struggles, the darkness, its initiation into the fullness of life, illness, death, love, ecstasy, the best and the worst of times that make up the journey of a year. Look back over your year. It's a journey. We're being led by the Spirit. It's an odyssey. It's this searching for a deep experience that will somehow satiate the hungers of the soul. So when you get to look at this now and you transform this into a faith journey, you have these the Magi who represent people on a journey. They're a community, so the journey in community. Somehow, the teaching is that the true meaning of life will be found in a journey in community. The journey through the night in silence. There's an extraordinary eloquence in silence. Silence is very powerful. Now, when I stop for silence, I got all your attention. All your attention is focused on silence. There's an extraordinary revelation happens in stillness and in silence. They are the symbols of the ones who discover the meaning of life in stillness, in the night, following the star, some kind of a mysterious, an experience that cannot be explained. Human logic and human reason won't explain it. And you are led to the place of life, to the Messiah. And when they encounter the Messiah, it says they go home by a different way. They don't go home by power and prestige and the glories of the world. They go home silently by a different way. It prompted me to remember T.S. Eliot's Little Gidding, you know, where he says, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive at the place where we started and know it for the first time." Now you'll know it in a new way. Karl Rahner says, you know, "In the torment of the insufficiency of everything attainable, we come to learn that every life is an unfinished symphony." And that's us. We're on a journey. I thought this was very meaningful for me. The epiphany somehow spoke to me about the journey of the last year and the journey into the unknown in the next year. Somehow put into order, into focus, the best and the worst times of the last year, the times of light, the times of darkness, and how all of these things somehow have a formation of fulfillment when we meet the Messiah. And when we go home by a different way. Amen.